You're listening to the Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast, recorded in Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Welcome back to Ruhi Sleep, Sleep in Society podcast, episode 17. Mike back here again, and I'm once again joined by Ruhi. How are you this week, Ruhi?
I'm well, and yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm really excited to kind of get into this topic because we've teased a little bit about the next coming episodes, and I get really excited when we introduce new topics and we go into
Yes, you do.
Yeah, well, I love new topics and moving forward, and yeah. I also love hearing from our guests. Mm-hmm. Those have been some of my favorite episodes, so the fact that we're getting closer to that and we're sort of nearing the end of a series and beginning of that, it's an exciting time. It's like a season finale of a TV show. Yes. It's very exciting.
It is exciting. It's been quite the journey of reflecting back with you on this.
Well, it's been fascinating for me, too.
In a different way altogether.
Because I've never heard any of this. And you know, even though we've been working together for about a year now, this is – a lot of it's new to me. So even though, you know, you're expressing things that maybe you've lived with for years, I'm getting it in a very fresh way. So it's very fascinating to me. And I'm just happy to be part of the journey because it's been very interesting to go through this and exercise and burnout and self-regulation. These are things that I'm really starting to get a – fascination for, if like, mm-hmm. I want to kind of understand this for myself.
So me it's been too.
Very nice. Yeah,
it's a good. That's good.
No, very true. So this week we're going to kind of continue on where we left you several years ago. After you'd had a burnout, you'd come back from it, and now at this point, we're going to talk about where exactly you were with your exercise and starting to note this process for you. So post burnout, what was starting to happen for you?
So post burnout, and after I took that 6 week mm-hmm. break, I started to, I came back in terms of looking back at all the variables and to see what I needed to shift around. And one thing that, I needed to shift around was my work schedule.
Yeah.
Because that was no longer sustainable for me to keep all these systems afloat. That's like self-care in form of exercise, in form of controlled diet, and then having a schedule that was still relentless in a way. Mm. And all the other jobs that you have, you know, of being a parent and now researching and doing all of those things. And now I have to look at all of this data.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting, actually, I started looking up the data because I hadn't. Before I was just journaling. I was self-aware. It was subjective.
Sure.
But now I started to pay attention to it objectively in terms of like starting to collect to see where I was with everything.
So the collection of you were journaling and you were noting things, but you're saying you really started to analyze at this point. This was when you started to analyze and actually look at the data. You were saying objectively. So was it easier to look at it looking back that way than in the moment?
I think both processes are difficult because this is a different way. This is like a, first of all, it's journaling. Yeah. You have certain things are you can measure objectively in terms of, let's say, you're looking at part of like, you look at exercise variables, for example, and I can say, oh, today I did 20 squats and 20 pull-ups and 20 sit-ups and whatever else I was doing. This is just random. They're more complex movements.
Course,
this is just simplifying.
Yeah.
Oh, this set I can do within a minute and a half,
sure.
Let's say. And then those are objective numbers because next night, and then I'm looking at how many hours of sleep I had the night or during daytime. Those are objective numbers. And pure, like if you want to look at pure scientific data, that would be you would put electrodes on me and have an absolute objective measurement.
Not everybody has those lying around, though.
No, not everybody has those lying around. And even if you did, I mean, that's biomarkers is something you and I are going, upcoming episodes.
Oh, great.
That's going to be an interesting conversation. I can't wait to have that with you.
Yeah.
So let's say, yeah, so you have those measurements, those objective measurements, amount of sleep, amount of food that you are taking. But then there are those things that you're not able to really measure that well. That is like the level of stress or level of anxiety and your level of motivation. You can have scales. There are. I'm not saying there are not scales available. There are scales available in terms of measuring grit, measuring resilience, measuring motivation, measuring where you are in terms of your depression. Mm-hmm. But I think as a human being, that would be an impossible task to be carrying on for 3.5 years where you're doing this, you know, scale by scale measurement. This is just an example of what, you know, objective versus subjective. So my journals included for the longest time in terms of when I went to bed, when I woke up, whether I felt refreshed, how was my sleep fragmented? Because, you know, if I was aware of being woken up, I would know that it was fragmented. Was I feeling foggy upon waking up? Where was my stress level compared to where it was? Was I really stressed? And where was my exercise? Where was my motivation, productivity? All of those things, like, I started to note down. And then there were things of how many sick days, there were vacation days. Those are all objective measures. And now I'm starting to look at it and creating patterns and starting to collect this data and start to put it together to see, okay, let's have a look over the past since 2011. Right. This is 2015. Where am I at with all these measurements? And so that's what I started. Wow. I started to do that around that time.
Yeah. So what led to the presentation of this data and doing, actually? Because, I mean, you talked about how, you know, the collecting process is starting, but, you know, shift to now, our listeners know that you do lots of talks and presentations. And start talking about what that process looked like.
At this point, I was actually being encouraged by my mentor, who was part of this process. I was being encouraged by my friends who were academics and by my colleagues who had been watching me do this process and were very much a part of this whole thing, without whom, when we talk about support in terms of my, you know, the team we have within our lab, such incredible, incredible women. All of them are actually encouraging now and saying, no, this needs to be presented. Yeah. You need to present this because this is something that's never been done before. And the fact that it's not, we talk about this all the time, it's not a short-term thing.
No.
It's been going on for quite a while, and you've been collecting this for quite a while.
Well, very evident from all the podcast episodes leading up to it, you can see this is a longer-term process, and you talk about the importance of that. It's a journey. It's not simply, this is the destination, we're here. You need to take that journey.
Yeah, and looking at, you know, all of the variables that you're looking at and saying, oh, what is within my control? Yeah. What is not within my control? What is something that I can actually measure? What are things that are not measurable? What is it that I can change and what is it that I cannot change? So looking at that now, actually putting it in a form that is accessible, that can be presented at scientific conferences.
Yeah.
So I was strongly being encouraged and pushed, and people wanting to come and help me with this sort of process. A lot of my friends and my, as I said, my mentor pushing me to do this and saying, no, we will help you with this stuff. I was also in 2015, got an award, which is the BMO Excellence in Healthcare Award. And part of that award was that you get to choose where you want to go in terms of attending a conference.
Yeah.
This is going back now to the conference in Halifax, in Canadian Sleep Society conference, where I was introduced to circadian rhythm scientist Dr. Deborah Skeen, who actually encouraged me. She looked at my stuff and she goes, oh, you gotta you got to go to this conference on shift work and working time, and she was heading to that conference in Brazil, and then she said next one is in Denmark, or after that it was in Denmark, and you need to go there because this is very interesting stuff. And so I ended up receiving the award and then heading to Denmark to attend the working time conference, a shift work working time conference, and looking at what they had. And really, it was very interesting because there's all that analysis and all these people whose studies I've been looking at and studying, and then my reality as a shift worker.
Yeah.
And then you start looking at the gaps, right, between analysis and praxis, and then having these conversations with them, saying, you know, as a shift worker, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that was eye-opening in so many ways.
Yeah.
And then I also submitted. My first submission was to Canadian Sleep Society in 2015, and they accepted it. And I'm always shocked, actually. It's always fascinating to me. I go, oh, that's great. They accepted it, and now I'll be... presenting it. So that's what led to that particular journey in 2015. And then after that, it's been presented in different places.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I mean, it's no real shock from where I'm looking at, because even recently in when you were introduced at the Band Reese Center here at Queen's University in Kingston, the person introducing you called your work groundbreaking. You know, there are things that you're doing that were not done before. So clearly your support, I'll call them, but your colleagues, your mentor, are recognizing the work that you're doing and are recognizing that this wasn't here before. And we've brought it up even at the beginning of this podcast. We talked about in the first couple episodes how this type of conversation wasn't being had, certainly when I was younger, when I was at a time where I needed maybe some support when it comes to sleep. So it's clear that others were recognizing that this is something that that is needed, and sending you to these places and getting these awards and all these talks you've done clearly has helped move that forward.
Yeah, I think there it's interesting because, of course, there's support. But also, at the same time, this is something that is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to bring that up, that this is very much like a single case study. This is my case study. And this is something also, you know, this idea of subjective versus objective, controlled versus reality, analysis versus praxis. This is constantly dominating my thought processes. This is something that I've started to look at, you know, the gap between analysis and praxis, where science stands in terms of shift work and where the reality of a shift worker is, and those kinds of chasms that are present in terms of scientific data and the reality of an individual. Those are becoming very clear to me, and it's very interesting to be examining it from that perspective now. And that's a whole another perspective because you're in it, right? As you're in it and you're writing, and that process is with you, like you yourself are. The individual, me, I'm looking at it, and that idea of self-awareness, and you're writing everything down.
Yeah.
And then there's this shift of like looking at the patterns and the data, which you're removing yourself from, and you're looking at it from this very, you're starting to look at it from an objective perspective. And then having, you know, these conversations with my physician or regularly talking about this, making sure that there was another person that was involved in this, and then training, not just like on my own, but having training in terms of martial arts, and then having functional movement coach and having them be observers of where I was in terms of like, you know, my physical state. That's all part and process of that objective versus subjective, because, you know, can one be truly objective, about one's own subjectivity.
Yeah.
Which is a very, it's a deep philosophical
it is.
Thing. And I think I would love to go into this conversation with some other interesting human beings about that.
Yeah, it is. That is a very interesting question.
Yeah, but how far also, how far can you go down this rabbit hole too, right? And how far can you parse somebody's reality, and how much of it can you quantify? And is that like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean, Mike, as looking at you to say, these are your variables and these are quantifiable variables, and now I'll serve you on a platter and go do figure something out about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when you're doing that to yourself, we've talked about how difficult these different stages were for you, and they were different challenges in different ways. And I can think of no greater challenge than looking at oneself in a subjective way. It's so hard to separate yourself. So even the way you're describing it, I'm like, that is a challenging process to kind of go into. I'm sure you found it was a challenge in the beginning, but somehow you were able to turn this into your manuscript. Like, you're able to make it work for you. But the way you just described it, how would I take pieces of myself, serve it on a platter, and say, here it is? Like, that's very challenging.
Yeah,
how do you do it? Yeah,
it's incredible, the process. And then the doubt that you're constantly creeping. And that, I think that was the most fascinating part of it, was getting over that part of it. And
can you talk about that a little? Because I was going to ask about that, of the idea of, like, were there points where you were doubting what you were seeing, and how much were you doubting? Can you talk about that process of doubt a little bit?
I think that's a difficult conversation, because I don't think I'm going to be able to articulate it very well.
Well, maybe that's an episode. Maybe that's something we can think about for a future episode, because I think it would be interesting.
I think
to talk
doubt
about that
is a constant process, because even if you're introducing, anytime you're going to introduce a new idea, it will be coming under attack, whether it's constructive or not constructive, which is an interesting thing in itself. Like, if you were to look at all my the peer review, which we will come to those in the future episodes.
Yeah.
I can't wait. If you look at the peer review from very structured scientific analysis to versus peer reviews from the humanities, they're completely two different things.
And then you are
wondering about that quantification of a human being. And the episode that we're going to be talking about, this idea of biomarkers, serving the biomarkers to you, and going, here, human being, these are your biomarkers. Now go figure yourself out.
such a blunt thing, but like, I get what you're saying, and that's exactly what it feels like, right? It's like,
and
just
then,
go figure it out.
It's like, you know, giving the pain and then say, go find out the panacea for it. So it's that part of it is, like, to me, fascinating, because I think part of it is also like how the idea of, like, how do you define a humanity of a subject? Because some of this, when you're looking at controlled settings and controlled experiments, it's great to create baselines, but where are you actually going with the baselines? It's
absolutely
good.
Yeah.
My baseline's changing from day to day to day.
No, you bring up a really good point, and I do think that's going to make a really interesting conversation, and talking about doubt and peer review and these type, how do you measure these things? I think that's very exciting future episode in store. So, so for people listening, stay tuned. You're going to be like, and I this is what I like about this topic. You can go off into so many directions that here we are, you know, talking about you and your study and presentations and where it was going. We already have three or four more topics to tease for people for future episodes that as someone who's just sitting here listening to you, for the most part, I'm excited for it. So I can imagine listeners going, oh, I can't wait for that episode. Like, that's, again, people recognize that in themselves. I think these are topics people can say, oh, yeah, self-doubt, peer review. That's something I've experienced in too.
Self-doubt, reflection. And then, you know, again, that idea of resilience, which we talked about Which is still fascinating to me that it came from a timber.
I really think that was the last. For those, if anyone does listen to these out of order or miss things, sometimes people come in episodes later.
Yeah.
Go back and watch episode, listen to episode 16, because they're very interesting discovery about where that word came from.
And where resilience came from.
Very fast. I think that's so fascinating and how much we use it in our day-to-day life. And we started naming all the different areas we use it in now, and it came from wood. And we're like, what?
Timber, the bounce back effect of wood. Yeah. Like, and then, like, you can create an entire episode on bounce back effect of wood to bounce back effect of individual wood. Like, you know, not so complex, and humanity is such a complex.
Very complex. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we only have a few minutes left. And I kind of want to end things off just kind of coming to the story of these presentations and you getting to go to these different conferences.
Mm-hmm.
When did you, or was there a point, was it always part of it, when these workshops and your solo presentations you did came out of this, were these based off of inspiring by the things you were seeing at these conferences, or was there a part of you that knew that this was the direction I wanted to go in? How organic was that?
I think both. But I think it was also the direction that I did want to go. And as I was saying, I was being strongly encouraged.
Yes, you had lots of support there. Yeah.
And to present. And the fact that and the 2017 presentation where I was invited to present at the 23rd Symposium for Shift Work and Working Time Society, that conference that I attended in 2015 in Denmark, that was interesting to me to be invited to do a presentation and talk about it. It was very short, but it was really good, and it was very interesting, and a lot of conversation came out of that one. And I just think it's interesting to share these experiences, because it is something that is somewhat different than, you know, when we talk about when we're giving advice to people as to what to do, and then saying, okay, what happens when you actually start doing that?
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. Mm-hmm. And in the, especially
and
when
the complexity.
The complexity, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. The complexity of the topic, but also each other. The complexity of each human being so different. You've made a very good point of reminding us that this is centered around you and what works for you. And the only way you know that is through this process. You took this long journey.
Yeah, very. And ongoing.
Ongoing.
We have like so much interesting. So up until this stuff was up until 2016.
Right.
And then there were shifts that started to happen.
Yeah.
In the following years, which is still, this is data that I'm analyzing right now.
I could imagine, considering you've thrown out dates from 2011 to 2015, that's a lot of data.
It's
a lot.
And from there onwards as we age, what happens?
Yes,
and that's
what happens next.
Fascinating too.
Yes, again, we'll throw out more topics next time for that. But thank you again, Ruhi. Fantastic episode.
Thank you, Mike.
I think this was a really great way to look back at the past couple episodes and kind of bring back topics and post burnout what happened with you. So thank you again for sharing this.
Thank you, Mike.
And thank all of you for once again listening to the Ruhi Sleep Sleep and Society podcast, available on ruhisleep.ca. Don't forget, you can give us a follow on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Ruhi Sleep. Lots of fascinating articles and topics around sleep and society. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.